So we're doing phrasing today. Many students ask me, well, I'm playing the scale, but it doesn't sound like a solo. What am I missing? And of course the answer is phrasing, which consists of so many elements. My goal today is to give you an overview of a lot of the different elements. And we're going to do a little exercise on each one. You don't have to be good at each one. Like, you don't have to get each one. We could easily spend a whole class on just one of them. But I'd rather do a whole slew of them, and then you guys assess how good or not so good you think you are at each one as we go along. Like, give yourself a rating, 1 to 10. You don't have to show me. And then go back on your own, practice the weaker ones later. Okay, so the key is G major, and we have to come up with a tempo. All this stuff is going to be in a context of 4-4. So we're using, like, you can use G major scale or G major pentatonic for any of the exercises. But the first one is one bar repetition. Like, can you repeat the rhythm of one bar? Not necessarily the same notes. So if I set the metronome, this is already just arbitrarily set at 80. So let's just hear what it sounds like. If you go. And then one bar, I'm going to demonstrate whatever I play in bar one, bar two will be the same rhythm, not necessarily the same notes. 2, 3, 4, so. Every single second bar was the same as the bar that preceded it. It's not as easy as you might think. Try it on your own and let me know what you think. So just to clarify, any notes in the scale, I mean, you might even just try the exact same, if you struggle with this, you can just try the exact same phrase with the same notes. But if you get that, then you can do any notes but same rhythm. Next example is two bar repetition. Now you might think that's harder, and in a way it is harder. But it's actually, in some ways, a little easier because we naturally hear and make phrases in two-bar settings. Like, it's hard to explain, but like all your favorite pop tunes, almost all the phrases are two bars in length. So let me demonstrate that. Like, if you have... like a symmetry to it that wasn't there before. Mm-hmm. Now I'm giving myself a crutch by allowing space, like play, you know, minimal notes or else you won't remember what you played. You have to play the rhythm exactly. I tend to either leave space like in the beginning, middle, or end. Just on those two examples, I gave space in the, like, either a long note or you just don't play at the beginning or at the end, or it could be in the middle. In the middle might sound like this, 2, 2, 3, 4. Either way, I only played, you know, let's count how many I played. Ga 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 ga, ga 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 ga. That's 9 notes over the course of 16 eighth notes, if that makes sense. Like, because it's eighth notes in a bar, we did 2 bars. So 9 at 16, I only played like half. So anyway, just try it and see what you... Also, I have to say, it's a little... It might seem counterintuitive, but it's actually easier when it's faster because then your attention span doesn't have to go so long. Let me demonstrate at 120. That was just 80. See what I mean? mean? Like, it's less attention span. So you might fiddle around with anywhere between 80 and 120. I don't know. All right. So hopefully you who are listening to this, just as the students are doing here live, you've written down 1 bar repetition, give yourself a score 1 to 10. 2 bar repetition, then give yourself a score 1 to 10. The third category is called call and response. I had a singer one time refer to it as colon response. And she was not joking. She just didn't know what was meant by that and got the terms confused.
We'll do semicolon.
All right, so this is similar to 2 bar phrases, and this is why I presented it in that order, where it has to do with the pitches. You repeat. All right, now I have to decide. There's two different ways to do this. So subheading A is rhythmic. What is it called?
Repetition.
Rhythmic. Theme and variation, that's what I was looking for. Theme and variation. So you repeat the first half or the first two-thirds and you change just the ending rhythmically. Nothing to do with the pitches. We'll get to the pitches in a minute. So I'm going to demonstrate. Examples were repeating the same rhythm for at least the first half and changing the ending so that it's theme and variation. There's a little story being told. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So just try that. This is subheading A of call and response, which is rhythmic theme and variation over 2 bars. We're doing it at 100. All right, now we're at the part B of this call and response thing where it actually does have to do with the pitches, where you might repeat the actual same notes again. And presumably, we have to define what we're going to do here. There's so many different ways to do it. But we're going to define where you're repeating the pitches exactly for the first part and varying the ending. So the repeating the pitches and the rhythm, but then varying the pitches and the rhythm in the second part. Let me demonstrate. 2, 3, 4. Now notice, they have different directions. When we say call and response, it also could be like described as question and answer. But that's a little misleading because a question, usually our tone of voice goes up, and then the answer, the tone of voice goes down. Well, how much is it worth? Well, it's worth this much. But it doesn't always have to be like that. In my two examples I just did, I don't know if you noticed, I did go up first and then down. But it'll also sound like question and answer if I don't do that. Let me try that. 2, 3, 4. So that went up, but it felt quite conclusive to the other one. So, but the main thing is you have to repeat, you have to keep track, play simple stuff, because you're going to have to keep track of what you played and play it, repeat it exactly the first half. Okay?
I'm still not sure what the difference is between that and...
Well, the theme and variation we did in part A didn't have anything to do with the pitches. And I heard you repeat the pitches the first time around, and I was going to point it out, but then the second time you didn't, so I left you alone, you know what I mean? Like, let me just clarify that again. Like, the rhythmic theme and variation... The the notes in the beginning were not the same, but they were the exact same rhythm. This, the notes are going to be exactly the same, and you'll change the pitches and the rhythm, whatever you want.
So I thought in the theme and variation, you're just changing the ending.
You are. Both of these call and response, you're both changing the ending. But the first, part A was just a rhythm, and part B is the pitches and the rhythm. Here we go. You can try it. 1, 2, 3, go. Let me repeat. You're repeating the phrase pitches and rhythm exactly in the, like, however much the first half of your second phrase, and then making a different ending.
Pitch and variation, pitch and rhythm change for the ending.
It's a gray area. Like, however you want to vary it. Darn it, it's like there's so many possibilities. If you repeat the pitches and change the rhythm, right? Let me demonstrate this. It'll still be theme and variation because there's some different element. Demonstrating, keeping the pitches of the second half the same but varying the rhythm. I didn't have time for the third note so don't get hung up on the nuances of it. Just
the important thing is to vary the last part of the second phrase.
Yes, but probably the most challenging part is to make sure you repeat the first part exactly. So make your phrases simple and keep track. That was a great example. The student just played. She played. Because that one is confusing, potentially, we're gonna see if the students got it. So, who would like to go first?
Okay.
Alright. Wait for the one beat. So, 2, 3, go. Great job. All right. 1, 2, 3, student number 2. Yeah, doesn't that sound like it could be both those examples? It sounds like it could be opening of a song. Mm-hmm. You need to balance out, whether it's composing or soloing, you need to balance out familiar and unexpected so that you take the listener along with you. If it's all just unexpected, then they're just gonna be like, "Yeah, this movie's weird. I'm turning it off." or if it's too obvious, then be like, "This movie's too boring. I'm turning it off." So there you go. The next one on our phrasing journey is rhythmic variety, and this sheet comes from one of my phrasing packets, and I looked it up this morning. It's been years since I made this. And it's a whole hour presentation, and I don't know for the life of me what else I talked about other than this sheet. Surely it wouldn't take an hour to read this sheet. Right now we're going to just read through the sheet one at a time, and it just helps you understand the possibilities of varying your rhythm. You can choose any notes in G major, and we're going to read number 1 together. Maybe we should do it with the metronome. You're going to do any single notes. So, here we go. Just 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's all we did was just read number 1, the rhythm of it. Any notes.
Oh, okay.
All right, and then just keep repeating number 1. Improvise on number 1. 1, 2, 3, here we go. Okay, so I hear some weird stuff. I hear weird stuff harmonically.
We're in G,
yeah, G's and girl, and I hear stuff outside the rhythm too. So just read what's there, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. That's fine. Now we're moving on to number two. There's nothing fancy about this. It's just a workout. 1, 2, 3, 4. We didn't go over. This is eighth note, so that would be bar three. Okay? And if you can't pick that fast, then just do legato. So here we go. 2, 3, go. Now on the next one is 16, so we may have to adjust the tempo a little. By the way, in order to find your comfort tempo for like 16ths, just do, my recommendation is do 5 notes in a row, because it will be like 1, 2, 3, 4. Where the 5th note lands on the next beat, if you see what I mean. Good, so this student's tempo is... So that's the tempo at which you should put the metronome, like 1, 2, 3, 4. That happens to be 66. So, so hopefully we can read number 4 like that, right? So 3, 4. Sorry, even I messed up on that. 3, 4, so it's 1 and a 2, 3 and 4, 1 and a 2 and a 3, 4 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 1 and 2, 3. So let me just do that by myself, just listen. So, because I heard some all over the place stuff. Here we go. It's just 1 and a 2, 3. A 2 and a 3, 4 and 1, 3, 4, 1 and 2, 3. Here we go. well, that ends well. And then number five, I'll do it word first and then join me right away. As soon as we get back to the one beat, join me right away. Because I didn't give you any warning on that last one. Mm-hmm. Two, three, four, it goes. One, two, and three, and a four. One, and two, and three. One, and two, three, and a four, and a one, three. Here we go. Number six, just me. One, two, and three. Four, and a one, and a two, and three. One. One, and a two, three, and four. Here we go. One, two, and three. That was good. Just me on this number seven, three, four, and then one, two, three, and four, and one, and a two, and a three, and four, and one, three. Here we go. Oops. Job, you guys. Now having done that, here's the real thing, is just solo in G freely and try and do rhythmic variety, and then rate yourself on how well you're able to spontaneously vary the rhythm all the way from whole note to quarter notes, 16th notes. By the way, if any of you listening to this were unable to read music and you couldn't follow that, it's in the presentation called phrasing packet of phrasing, where you don't have to read music. I coach you how to read those. Next one is start or end a phrase on different parts of the bar. This is a big one where there's a lot of different possibilities where you, let's just say we're in eighth notes, and so there's eight possible starting points within a bar. So, Patrick, I'd like for you to pick any of the following. The one, two, three, or four, or the end of one, end of two, end of three, or end of four?
Two.
All right, and Philly, I'd like you to pick whether we're going to start or end on that note, on that beat.
End.
We're going to end on two. Fine. So we go back to our, let's just go to 100. I don't know. I'm going to demonstrate first. Your phrase can be any length you want, but when you end, you must end on beat two. One, two, three, go. One more time. Two, three, one. got to keep track of where the heck you are. I think to start it is, might be a little easier, but let's try it.
So you can start anywhere?
You can start anywhere, but you must end on beat two. Your phrase length can be any measure you want, any number of measures you want. So if you miss the two, you can just continue your phrase and do it on the next one.
That's what I'm asking.
Good. This is good. One student said they are looking at the metronome, which flashes a different color on the beat one, and that's good. It's all good. I used to ask my teacher whom I took rhythm lessons for many years. He's a drummer, and he would say, you know, for example, that I did an exercise well, and I'd say, well, but I'm looking right at the thing, I'm like cheating. He said, so cheat, you know, just cheat, and then eventually you won't need the crutch anymore. Like, use the crutch. So it's all good. It changed my attitude a little in teaching by being a student makes you humble, you know. So it makes you a more informed teacher, you know. So anyway. I think the starting, though, might be a little easier. So we're going to test my theory by asking, let's ask Hilly to pick one of those eight beats again, even if it's two.
End of three.
The end of three, and we're going to start on that. Okay? So I'm going to demonstrate first. One, two, three. Can end anywhere. Okay? Alright, so just try that. One interesting thing the student brought up is that, like, since it's on the end, it might be a little harder, but he noticed that it's up. It's an upstroke, like, so that makes it easier. If your foot is tapping, you follow your foot and you just hit it when the foot, tap the foot down three times and then hit it on the way up after that. If you're into this game and you want to make it even harder, you can define an in point and an out point, which I'd like. We don't have time to do it with you guys right now, but define for me an in point and an out point, please. You
start, take at the two and end at the three end.
All right, fine. So I got to figure out what that is. So, wait, that was the end of four, my bad. Two. Like that. Yeah. As soon as you hear it, it starts to make sense. It's like a little tune. We don't have time to go into that, but it's a big thing that we could easily spend a whole hour on. Some of the other things on the list, we're running out of time now, are syncopation, just playing on the offbeats. So just play all together with me, but like you play eighth notes and just lots of upstrokes. One, two, three, four. Play 16th. There's eighth note syncopation and 16th. Let me just demonstrate both. Eighth note syncopation. Like that. And then the last one, again, there's so many more I could have done. It's called phrase congruency. Phrase congruency means some connection from the previous phrase. We've done it already in the form of rhythmic variation, rhythmic theme and variation, and melodic theme and variation, but it could be anything that ties phrase B to phrase A. So it's kind of like phrase A1, then A2, then you play like B1 and B2, but it doesn't have to be in two sets. It could be A1, A2, A3, and then B1, B2, B3, B4, whatever. Whatever it catches your ear when you're improvising or composing, whatever catches your ear is the thing that propels the next phrase. So it could be a rhythm, a melody, a
bend or
a technique. Yeah, a rhythm, a melody, or a technique. Let's start with technique. We haven't talked about that yet. If I play 1, 2, 3, 4. Next. Vibrato.
Yeah.
What about a melody? It could be like a specific pitch that catches my ear, or a specific set of pitches, or even a relationship between pitches. All that's like way too much to cover in 1 minute, but I'm gonna just try to demonstrate. Here's a pitch that catches my ear. 2, 3. Relationship between pitches, like maybe an interval of a fifth or something, right? So it doesn't have to be that extreme, but I just wanted to like drive it home, like I'm obsessed with fifths, and it can compel, it can continue your improv and keep it fresh for much longer by exploring whatever catches your ear and holding on to it and messing around with it. That's the technical term. Rate yourself on that when you go home. Great overview of phrasing, guys.